Hey everybody, Dr. Ron Oberstein. I'm so excited to bring you this two-part episode with Dr. Ryan Zimmerman, and of course my wife, Dr. Mary, in our Life by Life West. And Dr. Ryan, in this first segment, is going to be talking about his time as the chiropractor in Paris for the U.S. women's national soccer team as they won the gold medal. He'll be talking about stories inside the locker room and different things. You really get a good feeling of what's going on, how the layout is. It is fabulous. So enjoy it. Remember, it's a two-part. Part two is coming out next week, but just enjoy this, okay?
Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello everybody, Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. Joining me, my co-host, love of my life, and my partner and everything else, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Me too.
And our guest today, Dr. Ryan Zimmerman. Ryan, you're coming at us from Pasadena, East LA, La Quinada, all these places, but thrilled to have you. You were with us before, and we were very excited to have you come back. A little bit about Dr. Ryan. Dr. Ryan graduated from Los Angeles Chiropractic College in 2005, has a family practice, sees newborns all the way up to, seniors, and everything in between, and also takes care of athletes. So he anywhere from amateur athletes, weekend warriors, to professional athletes. We're going to get into that today. He's just an incredible man. And Mary, we got to spend time with Ryan in Ireland, right? We lectured on the same program not too long ago, and we got to spend some time together afterwards, a day together, and just had a beautiful time. And he's a family man. I think of everything, of all of his success, his family is probably the greatest success that he has, with his kids and his wife, and just a wonderful man. He also takes care of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, and he's been involved with them for quite a few years, since 2014, and he's had World Cups and Olympics, and today we're going to talk because he just got back from the gold medal Olympics and the Olympics in Paris, and we'll get into that also. But you've done a lot, dude, in the last 20 years, 19 years. It's really cool to see, and I just want to tell our audience this, and I really believe this, everything, your success, which is beautiful for our profession, and it really comes from who you are, and no ego, strictly, delivering the goods, walking the talk, and being true to who you are and true to the profession. And I want to thank you for that, because it's such a big thing. So number one, that to me is probably the most important thing. But welcome, man.
Thank Good you. To have that. You. Those are very kind, especially coming from you two, which have poured so much into the profession. So I appreciate that. That means a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, you got it. And dude, baguettes and Paris and all this stuff just got back from Paris, let's talk about it, man. Cause I tell you what, Mary and I were talking this morning, knowing you're gonna be on the show, and we're just saying, let's just talk about the Olympics. Cause it's so cool. You're taking care of a gold medal team, and regardless if they're gold medal, you're taking care of the team. And I'd like to give our viewers, and Mary, if you're good with this, we'll give our viewers, and Ryan, of course, you, what's the back door, what's the back view, coming from backstage and being on the side and traveling with the team and everything in between. If we can go into those, it'd be really cool.
Yeah. I think in short, I describe it like summer camp, right? It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work and very little sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's getting back from when I got back from France and was like, the Olympic Village, the cardboard beds and the cereal for all the meals. That wasn't the experience I had. We were all over France. We were not in the Olympic Village. And so What was the most kind of interesting part for me right off the bat was just the logistics. And I think what a lot of the viewers will find interesting is, you know, fly into Paris, go from Paris to Marseille. We're 2 days in Marseille. We take a 2-hour bus ride to Nice. We have a day in Nice. We play a game at 9 p.m. We get on a bus right after the game, go back to Marseille, get back to Marseille at 2:30 a.m. We play 2 games in Marseille. We take a 3-hour bullet train to Paris, have a game in Paris, take a 2-hour bullet train to Nice, Lyon, have a game in Lyon, and then a 2-hour bullet train back to Paris. Well, that's not even the games yet. So, you know, that's what was really interesting, and how that the logistics of that was fascinating to me from an organizational standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, who runs it? They have like their own people there that you know, blowing whistles and saying, you know, time to get out, time to get on the bus, time to do all that stuff, because you're like herding cats, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you have a delegation of 60 people. So the delegation is the amount of people that we travel with. 21 of those are the players, and the rest is anywhere from the med team to admin. And so, yeah, so you're working with your own crew, and then you have the country, you have USOPC, United States Olympic Committee, and then you have everything in between that's helping you figure that out. So everywhere we went, we had a police escort. So you walk through the train station in Paris, you're walking through with a delegation of 60, you have a corridor, a line of policemen on both sides of you that are blocking you from the public. So you're just walking straight through. Everything is set up through 3 different forms of communication. So you have like a Slack channel, which is called Teamworks. Yeah. And then there's also emails, and then there's text messages, and then there's WhatsApp. So you have multiple forms of communication, which, again, as you guys know, in practice, that's huge, right? It's like, how many ways can we communicate? And we need to over communicate sometimes.
Yes, always.
And that was the case with this.
Same form of communication. I mean, meaning that if one message goes out, it hits those 3 or 4 different applications.
Not always, because what happens is this might only be for the med team. The med team might only be this, or this might only be for the staff. And they're very, what I found really cool and really interesting about this coaching staff is they were very intentional about what energy was out and what energy was in. And that even came with the words that were spoken and what was being said as well too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Mary?
I was gonna say, so, and was it very organized, or was it? It sounds like it was, but we want the behind the scenes.
Was there chaos also? Like,
yeah, was there chaos?
Missed the bus, you know, or missed the train, or missed the plane?
No, nothing was missed. But so with a tournament like this, and this is a people like, well, did you bring your family? And a lot of times, I don't think you can't comprehend the uncertainty that comes along with every day and every game. And so just like I said, with my travel, the first 4 games are all in this, you know what they are, but then after that, you don't know where you're going to end up.
Right.
So we had advanced by the second game, we had already advanced, but based on the 3rd game, we didn't know whether we were going to advance to Lyon or to Paris. And so there was all these different things that could have happened. And so they're prepared for that. They're really good. They're dialed in, but nothing. So one funny story, actually, we have a private chef with us that travels with us, great food. And he does basically, we're very controlled with what comes in, the macronutrients, the carbs, the proteins, the fats. But then he tries to also bring in like kind of local flair if we're in Lyon or if we're in Marseille. And by the end of the tournament, by semifinals, the girls, the players, we're done with the food because it was just the same thing. So they ordered ramen, Uber Eats ramen. I'm not going to mention name, but she was, in my opinion, the MVP of the tournament and the best player. She actually got food poisoning the day before the finals.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
I mean, what happened at that point? So if we talk, what went into effect there from the med team perspective was just fascinating. And she was out on the field, played the game, played an amazing game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
I mean, was she like just IV'd up and
so, charcoal, activated charcoal?
Yep. Activated charcoal. So Ron, that's IVs are illegal in the Olympics unless there's a medical necessity.
Right.
So we were going, it was this it was kind of this, hey, can we prove that we have the right objectives to show that this is necessary? I think she did like three IVs.
Yeah.
And she was floating. She's like, I feel amazing. Yeah. We did soft tissue work. We adjusted her. The massage therapist got in there, diaphragmatic releases. So everything was being done. So, yeah.
That's great. That's great.
Wow.
I mean, how many are on the healthcare team?
Yeah. So I've done this number before. Let me see. So you've got an ortho, a general practitioner. You've got the head trainer, who's an ATPT, so athletic trainer, physical therapist. Yep. You've got a physical therapist. You've got two more ATs. You've got chiropractor, and then three massage therapists, 10 on the med team.
Wow.
And so it's really cool. The massage therapists are all off in a separate space, but I get to work in this big open area, which I love, because the med room is kind of like, it's such a cool, intimate space, and where all of this just kind of free flowing conversation and fun happens.
Yeah.
And I was the only male in there, which I grew up with two sisters. So I was like in my zone. I was like, this is easy for me. But it's a really good energy. And they've even, the players have even in the past written in their requests and contracts that they don't want coaches or any other admin in there, so they can be free and be in that space,
yeah,
not have to think about it. So yeah,
it makes sense.
We work really hard to do that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, Mary, I got a question. I just want to jump in if you do, but what's on the tip of my tongue is that, you know, obviously they got everything. They got PTs, they got ATs, they got all this stuff. You know, I know you know how to like release psoases and do these different things like that. You know, obviously, you know, because you take care of a lot of athletes, but, you know, and you're phenomenal at correcting subluxation. You know, was that your main focus there, to just correct subluxation and maybe handle a few other things? But if anything was like, you know, if they pulled their groin or did whatever, they would go over to the AT? Or how did you differentiate, and would you send them to places, or would the AT send them to you, you know, or the PT send them to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And they knew what my role was to correct subluxation, was to work on the spine. My tool was the chiropractic adjustment. And it's really liberating in that sense, is that you don't have to worry all about that. And we know how important the soft tissue is, to not have to think that patient just left my office without me having to be able to do something more, but to be able to say, Katie, can you handle the release now? So yes, you're able to work in this multidisciplinary environment, and you almost, Ron, you almost want to make sure that you do handoff.
Yeah.
You want them because they're going to hand off to you as well too.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That builds that relationship. And it also continues the conversation between the team in that space. You know,
totally,
that makes sense.
Totally do. Yeah. But it also makes your job easier, because when you know, you could be talking about, look, I'm going to get you functioning to the best of your ability. We're going to get you neurologically and structurally, you know, functioning, because these athletes know that. I mean, they know that their tool is their body, you know, and if the tool isn't sharp, you know, it's not going to work as well for them. Right. And so I love that it could be so clean like that. And they, you know, they can say, hey, I've been having this, you know, can you just take a look at it, you know, whatever. But it's like, it just creates a clarity that is so huge, and they get it. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Cause we know that it's like, we know that if they didn't have ATs or PTs there, you could do all of this.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So I get it. It's like symbiotic relationship, where it's like, it serves you better to adjust these athletes and then pass them off, even though you could take care of a lot of the soft tissue stuff yourself.
Yeah.
Right. But
yeah,
you want
I
them
think,
to pass off to you.
And I like to think that that's been the success of some of my longevity of working through three different head coaches, three different head med teams, is my letting go of that ego of being okay with being just an employee, just a chiropractor. Right. And so that's what, I've been able, again, it's just nice. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, what I love is the messaging.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying this is exactly what the messaging is, but you know, they're coming to you to say, "Doc, tune me up." You know, like you know, just get me fun. You know, turn on my nervous system. So I'm not saying they're saying those words, but knowing that they come to you because they know that when their nervous system's functioning, you know, free of interference, they're going to function to the best of their ability. And I just love that. You know,
and they know it ties into the nervous system. Like you said, they're. Some are using it to downregulate. Some are using it to upregulate the nervous system, coming off the train, coming off the bus. And then also, too, with the fact that I'm just doing the chiropractic adjustment, I can work on all 60 people in that delegation.
Yeah.
Head coach was on my table just as much as the players were.
Yeah.
And she got it right away.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is her contract, players can't be in there. Players can't be in the room when she's in.
So and that came up because she's new. This was her first tournament and she's a wonderful, wonderful coach. And we can get into kind of what I saw differently of how she approached this as a coach being with three different coaches, but she got it. She understood it. Right. So I would, if the players were in there, you know, we'd just carry my table out into the hallway and I'd work on her in the hallway and she didn't care. You know, most of the time it was, with the players, we would have three-hour shifts a day. That would be a typical day. And that could be from, you know, starting at 9 in the morning till 10 at night. But in between, I like to be just available and on call for any of the delegation that needs me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, so I mean, I have like 10 questions in my head right now. I don't want to be all over the place. So let's just stick with that because you just said something. How is she different than the last two coaches?
One of the things that stood out to me was the one-on-one conversations she was just having in the hallways of the hotel with specific players. I never saw that happen. There was, you know, you could see on our calendar, what was called Teamworks, you know, meeting with the coach and it was the whole team.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'd be walking around and having dinner and she'd walk over to a table and sit down with a player and just start having a conversation. I didn't know, nor did I need to know what those conversations were. It was just what I saw is that she was having that conversation.
Yes. The personal ones.
It was with specific key people, maybe someone who had just been injured, maybe a captain at specific times. It was intentional, but it was that personal touch. And then just lightness. Like, whereas one time, is kind of give you an insight into her personality. We were going around in the training room and everyone was talking about middle names. What's your middle name? What's your middle name? What's your middle name? And she walks in and they go, "Hey, coach, what's your middle name?" She's like, "You don't want to know my middle name." It's like, "You want to know my porn name." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you take the name of your first pet and the street you grew up in, and you put them together." And so like, just this lightness and this funniness. And you can edit that if you want. You can cut that out.
No. I love it.
Just kind of an idea of who she was. Is she wasn't this like stuffy. She was just, and the whole training room lit up. We all laughed and funny. And so she just brought this. On the opposite end of that, she was also wanted to stretch the players to a place they've never been. Mm-hmm. And she spoke a lot about suffering. And this was hard for some in the med space to hear that she wanted the players to suffer. And as healers, we have a lot of context around that word.
Yeah.
Having done endurance training in the past myself, I understood what she was asking, taking yourself to a space that you've never been before. And being okay with that space. There's a difference between suffering that is unintended and suffering that is intended, right? And I think I understood it, and that's what she brought. She wanted to open their mind and take them into a new room, right? And I thought that was what was really cool about what she was bringing.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed watching her. Like after the semifinal and then after the finals, you know, they interviewed her, and I just loved listening to her. I mean, you could see that she just was, you know, focused, and yet she also had this lightness about her, you know, like it wasn't like, okay, now we got to go, but it was, She was calm and yet very intense at the same time. I don't even know how to, I don't know how to describe it, but she, and she's originally, where's she from?
She's from England. She's from England, but she got her, you know, she'll tell you she's an American in her heart because she, you know, this was where she felt as a woman, she got the most respect.
Cool. And, but she was on Olympic teams, I believe, right? She was like a...
Well, she came from Chelsea. So Chelsea is a Premier League soccer team in England. That's right. And she, amazing career there. Yeah. So Chelsea women's, not Chelsea men's.
Yeah.
So she came from there. But yeah, she's never done international soccer before. But yeah, she just brought a happiness. She just brought joy.
Yeah.
And you saw that in all the players. And that's what was different about this camp is there wasn't this third thing, right? Of just like what it was, you know, what do we get after the achievement? It was about just being there, you know?
Yeah. You know, you had mentioned about being an employee, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously it's a change of a hat, right? You run your own business right now. When you're in LA, you know, and you're doing your own thing and, you know, that kind of thing. And then you go to a situation where it's pretty structured. You know, you got the, usually, I don't know about the Olympics, but I know, you know, when we were taking care of the Chargers, you know, usually it's the AT or somebody or the PT who the athletic trainer who kind of coordinates everything and runs everything. And people go, really? Yeah. So they're the person full time, you know, does it. And, what was it like? What was it like being, was there a shift off, you know, for being the employee?
Yeah. And that's, and you're exactly right. You know, with weekly, every week I go in and I work with LAFC, which is the MLS team in LA, and the AT is in charge. Mm-hmm. At the Olympics, the AT is in charge. They're the head. They get all the respect. But when I started working, you know, over 10 years ago in these spaces, I would go in and it's, you're running a business. You go in and be like, oh, that could be different. That could be different. That needs to be changed. But then you realize you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, not my circus, right?
And don't worry about that. Don't get into that. Do not get involved in that. Step back and do your job. Stay in your lane. And so I think being an employee has helped me be a better employer.
Yeah.
Because I get to see and feel what it's like. And when I'm respected and when I'm appreciated and when I'm not, and when I think I should be, you know, all these things that are potentially going through your employees' minds. It's a shift in a good way, but you have to be willing to, you have to shift, you have to do it. You can't fight it and you can't try to be it. Yeah. That makes sense.
I
was going to say, I had that same question. Cause I was going to ask you, what did it take? Like, where did you go? Like, so I want to go a little deeper on that because I get what you just said. Right? I can relate to that. But what did it take? Like, what did you do? What did you tell yourself? Was there a mantra in your mind to stay in your lane and to not be involved in all that stuff when you know you could have made it better? And that's what you do. Like, can you dig a little deeper? Just tell me, like, I want to learn from this. Like,
yeah. And it's, I think it's,
was it letting go of ego?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is, but I didn't, like you said, there's probably something I was saying to myself before I realized I needed to do that. Yeah. And the letting go and the freeing was not why I was doing it. It was a result afterwards and realized, and it made it that much, it reinforced the reason to do that. But what was going on in my head was, it's just not my problem.
Yeah.
Like be what's always important for me with, if when you're dealing, especially with high profile people, is understanding that when you're on the table, for me, I'm the high profile person. I am the pro, yeah. I am the chiropractor, and they're just my patient. And so really focusing on that energy and feeding into that space of being, this is what I'm doing. This is another spine. That's all it is. Didn't allow me to have other things in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like the ultimate stay in your lane.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to be so just here and not think about. And so for me, I don't watch any sports, and I don't like, and almost on purpose, intentionally, I don't read any news about these athletes. I just try to just there. That's just Ron. Yeah. That's just Mary. Yeah. That's all they are to me. And then when they get on the table, they need my care. They need my service.
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah.
Wait, one other follow up. Because of how you stay in your lane, do you think that's why you've been with them for 10 years?
I like to think so. Yeah. So here's a caveat to that. When I don't stay in my lane, is if anyone at any time needs help with something that is completely not my job, if they need water bottles filled, if they need balls retrieved, if they need whatever it is, the lowest thing I can find to do, if it needs to be done, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So that would be the caveat. But I like to think that, yes, me being able to just not go above.
Right. Yeah. But you're there to serve them. And Brian, knowing who you are, you wouldn't do something that you couldn't do. Right. In other words, you know, you wouldn't be an imposter, so to speak, you know, where they want you to do something and you know, I know that's not you, but retrieving balls, you know, if you're not,
love it.
I'm here to support you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was about their success, their health and their success.
Yeah.
Man, it's amazing because, you know, you said that you had two sisters, you grew up with two sisters, right? Yeah. And it seems like you kind of inherited 20 sisters. Are you in contact? Is there communication going? Is the Slack, you know, the WhatsApp, is it still happening now or is it all gone?
So here's the cool thing is that, and the sad thing is that being in it for 10 years, there's probably only two or three of us within the admin, me being one of them, that is still there. The players can be gone from year to year, from camp to camp.
Yeah.
You have certain high profile players that I'm now seeing on sports broadcasting that were there in the stands at the Olympics that we were giving hugs and I have this relationship with. But I got asked to go to Wembley in November with the team, and it could be five of those players could be gone that I built that relationship with. So that's another hard part that I had to realize early on with professional sports is you can walk in one day and all those relationships are wiped out. That being said, that's why it's so important to continue to communicate and network with everyone in that space so that you always have an anchor or a contact. Just from the business aspect, I'm just, if we're throwing out, you know, advice, but I get to see these, I'll see them again soon and get to work on them.
But do they text you like right now and say, hey, Dr. Ryan, I need a car. I'm in Las Vegas training for whatever. Is there a chiropractor here that I can see? You must get those all the time.
I got a text. What was this one? 2 weeks ago. She's in Nashville. She's like, hey, can you talk to the doc and tell him the adjustment that you did on me? And I'm like, and we know as chiropractors, that's like the biggest, worst offense. And even my wife, Jackie, she's like, oh, that sucks for him. I'm like, I know. I'm just going to have to be
really, it really cool does. With
him and be like, hey.
Dr. Ryan doesn't do it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you do it like Dr. Ryan? I don't know what Dr. Ryan does.
A lot of these players, they'll tell me the only time I get adjusted is by me. And I'm like, you need to change that. You need to find you a chiropractor and we need to get you on a regular care because it's going to make it easier for me when you come back in these camps. And I don't want it to be that way.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it just made me think too, because, you know, you talk about when they come into camp, right? You know, and the camp, of course, was the whole Olympic time period. But, you know, then they're out playing on their teams or doing whatever. Maybe they're in Europe, wherever they are. It would be really cool. And some will come back, you know, on the national team and some won't. But it'd be really cool to try to put together a network of docs that you can talk to actually say, look, this is what I do with her. This is what I do with her. And be able to, whatever cities or wherever they're playing or whatever it is, to be able to do that. Just to support, you know, I'm just thinking out loud, but
it's in the works. So actually there's a chiropractor in Nashville that reached out to me, not this one, a different one. For the MLS, we're trying to get almost like a chiropractic union together for the MLS. And just for that reason too, is, you know, one of the coolest opportunities I think that came for my business partner while I was out was LAFC. They're like, hey, you're gone too long. This tournament's, we need a chiropractor. And so I called my business partner. I'm like, can you go in? He's like, are you freaking kidding me? That place is like Disneyland. I'm going. And so now he's working with professional athletes because I couldn't make it in. And so to have that network around the country, I think would be invaluable.
Yeah. So how did you handle, you're gone for how many days? 25 days?
25 days, 24 days. Yeah.
24 days, man. Like, you know, besides family, which, I mean, you can talk to and Zoom with or FaceTime with or do whatever, but that's hard too, you know, and I know you've got young kids, but how did you handle it with the business and with everything else, you know, to give you that the freedom to be able to take off?
And this took me, you know, over, like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years. It probably took me 10 years to figure this out, to understand how important support for your support was. And so, you know, for family, that being foremost, my wife's as a sister in New York, she came in for a week and stayed with them, and she just happened to work out, random flowers sent, a cooked meal sent to the family, right? Yes, Zoom and yes, phone calls, but then also gestures.
Yeah, the acts of kindness, right?
Yeah, and then we also scheduled two vacations while I was gone for my wife and my kids to visit friends, to visit family. So just kind of line it all up so she doesn't feel alone for 3 weeks in the house. And as a parent, as a mom, I feel like that's her daily anyway. So I like to think that offset some of that. And she agreed. She's like, that was really helpful. But then in the office for us, it's anywhere from a 2 to 4 week process of getting that ready to roll on the calendar and on the schedule. Having my business partner and then an associate in there, you have to designate who's going to see who, because you don't want the patient seeing multiple different doctors while you're gone. Mm-hmm. And then you want to make sure that they come in for us the 2 to 4 weeks leading up. They're in the room taking notes while you're adjusting. Again, they may know what you're doing, but it satisfies the patient.
Yes, it creates the assurance within the patient.
Right. And so, and then that's also communicated with the front desk. It's like a note is in there of what doc they're seeing, making sure that they go in that appropriate room on the day of the schedule. And we do that from like most difficult cases to easiest cases. So the most difficult cases are priorities, and we make sure that those are scheduled appropriately. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. I mean, I think what people need to understand, our viewers, is that, you know, it's not just like, oh, yep, see you later. I'll be back whenever they lose kind of thing. You know,
I've done that and it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You come back to twice as much work, 10 times as much work, right, and patients not coming back and refunds and cancellations.
Yeah.
And probably phone calls when you're gone of how do we, you know, we have another crisis popped up today.
A desk full of notes of crises.
Literally. So it had to be nice this time, like you said, it finally had, kind of sounds like you have it dialed in. It had to be nice coming back to not having chaos.
It was wonderful.
Seamless, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it was just, it was a really, because you anticipate it, you don't know because it is, you think, and it's not there, and it just feels really,
The other piece too is, and it's kind of like, it sounds like everything can be very Pollyanna and just, you know, wow, everything's perfect, you know, but the truth is, I don't think our viewers know that, you know, you were slated for how many World Cups?
Yeah. So,
well, I'm glad you got to see part one. I mean, it's beautiful. And he's such a great guy, such a humble man. Part two is coming out next week, I believe. And just so you know, he'll be taking us deeper into the world of the women's U.S. soccer team and the intricacies of how things work. And you will hear more about chiropractic and what they do. So we'll see you at part two, and just earmark it.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.